Welcome to Cannon Crew, a weekly podcast discussing the Charleston Battery. Your host, Granite, will be joined by other defenders of the fleet from the Black and Yellow Supporters section, and together they will help fortify and conquer. They are the Cannon Crew.
Welcome to the Cannon Crew podcast. I am Granite. I am joined by Patrick. How you doing, Patrick?
I'm well. What's up, everyone?
And we're also joined by Ryan.
What's going on?
Hey, Ryan. What you been doing the last couple of days?
I've been coaching over at West Ashley High School. We had playoff start. First round went by at home. It was a good round. We won 3-1 against Conway. And then we just played in the second round last night against River Bluff.
And how'd that go?
It was a heartbreaker. We lost 3-2 in pens last night. And I'm just going to leave it at that. You know, all the boys left it on the field, and I'm proud of each and every single one of them. And they stepped up in a big way. Every single one of them grew massively, and I'm proud of the seniors especially.
They played their asses off. I watched a little bit. They worked and worked and worked, and I think they were the better team. Now, what do you do for West Ashley, Ryan?
For West Ashley, I am a goalkeeper coach.
Okay.
And trying to get into doing more of like set pieces and throw-ins and stuff like that, little specialties.
So PKs, West Ashley keeper, he had two really awesome saves. I mean, he was laid out. It was really impressive what he did. And I can see your tutelage has benefited that young gentleman. It was fantastic.
No, and I've had a great goalkeeping group this season. And I think that was our third penalty shootout that we've been in, and we've won two of them.
Well, they worked their butts off last night. It was a great match. Referees. Oh. Well, anyways, we'll leave that discussion for other West Ashleyites that want to discuss referees. Well, at least one center ref. But anyways, let's move on into our nice little butt whipping of Las Vegas. Happens in Vegas, doesn't stay in Vegas. It happens to trickle over to Charleston. 6-0 win. But first, let's talk about the atmosphere environment. Weather was awesome for the match.
Yeah, perfect out. Another beautiful Charleston afternoon on a Saturday. This game a little bit earlier, 4 p.m. kickoff than we've seen previous. But yeah, tailgating a little bit, the yellow lot, getting a little warm up myself with the soccer ball, a few touches on the mini goals over there. But yeah, another sold out crowd.
Yeah, Pat, as you said, you know, this is another big crowd, and you know, 4,500 people in attendance at this game is it's just incredible to continue to have this amount of support continue to grow for Charleston.
Yeah, that's a really good number, and it's a 4 o'clock match. I enjoyed it being a 4 o'clock match. Maybe when it's July and August, it might be a little too warm, but it was nice getting the match in and then getting it done and being able to talk about it afterwards. One of the other things that was noticed about the match just overall was the fantastic TV coverage. The announcers were fantastic. The camera crew were covering it very well. You could actually see all the corner flags. You could see all the play, unlike some other stadiums where we see cables and all that good stuff. But the announcers did a fantastic job.
Yeah, they got a little bored at the end there, but say a lot of people did when you just see goal after goal after goal, and then you already know it's in the bag. So they were really good.
You forgot three other goals. So it's goal after goal after goal after goal after goal after goal. Okay. So let's talk a little more specific about the match. It was 6-0. It was 4-0 in the first half. How about them lineup changes? Coach Pierman did an awesome job of not changing anyone.
Yeah, he threw us all for a loop on this one. No changes for the first time.
So this is two matches back to back, but every other match before now, they've thrown in a change here and there. This time, start out with the same starting 11 as we had last week. So let's just move on and go through the six awesome goals. A lot of them were very similar. Some of them were fantastic. Other ones will chalk up to some defending errors. So let's talk about the I don't know how we get around. How do we say it? Nick, 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 Nick. right? So I think it was Nick MD. But Nick scoring four goals. And I think it was the first time that's happened for the Battery in the USL era. Is that correct, Ryan?
Yes, for the Battery themselves. Third time in USL championship history, though. He tied a record for most goals in a game.
So let's talk about the first goal.
Yeah, you can see the defenders kind of bite when Ikaza, he's receiving the ball with his back to goal, and you see Las Vegas center back step up to him to try and double up, and to everyone's surprise, he just half turns and kind of chops the ball through behind them, where patiently waiting is Nick Markanik, and he takes a touch, goes around the goalkeeper for a nice 18-yard shot, and slots it home. So, and we're seeing a little bit from Nick with his confidence growing of be patient and stay in these correct positions, and you'll probably end up getting a shot, if not create another chance for another teammate. And that's a great example of it here.
And we're going to talk about a couple of other goals he made. And he finds himself in great space. And it was kind of, all of a sudden he's worked his way behind defenders and in just the spots where he's getting the ball, he has an easy touch and he can put in the back of the goal. On this one, and I always like to point out Mr. Torres, he's the one that intercepted it and started out the little passing fest to end up on Nick's foot and put it in the back of the goal. Interestingly, shortly after that, Nasser said, "Is this the first of many goals today?" A little bit of foreshadowing. So let's move on to the next goal. And I think the person that I would like to talk about the most is...
Yeah, so MD getting after this one. Another brilliant goal by the duo themselves, with Markanik getting after the loose ball, making the challenge on the play, and MD Myers getting right there for the rebound. Fantastic goal, and being able to shield off the ball away from three defenders coming in at you and to put it in. It's a great feeling. And again, that M&M duo is just going to be so dynamic this year. So that's, I believe, 16 goals for them now combined, or more than that?
Yeah, at this point it was 14.
14, yeah.
Six for your boy and 8 for the fan favorite, Nick.
So I still stand by my 30 count for this year for them two combined.
For the two of them combined? We'll see. I don't know. Maybe Nick scores a couple more goals.
We'll see.
They're just coming fast and furious, right? It's like they switch roles. This time, MD said, "Hey, I'll nick it and give it to you."
Yeah, I mean, almost verbatim, it's the same exact play we just saw, but in reverse. So, again, these two guys just finding themselves, and I say finding themselves, working themselves into these positions to create chances. And again, paying off. Like, the confidence, I think, is the biggest thing we can look at here, of knowing if you get to this space or you get to that ball, someone will be on the other end to finish it. And Nick is the lucky recipient of this one, and even gives a little shout post game and putting his teammates before him like he always does. But you still have to work a little bit and kick that ball in the back of the net.
And I think, Pat, to go off on what you were saying as well, is the two most important things to point out about Myers and Markanik right now is their versatility and their adaptability. No matter where they're at up front, whether it's out wide or in the middle, they both know exactly where to be and to complement and to help each other out. And they're just firing on all cylinders right now.
It's like we're playing two up front with those two working with each other. It's just it's a nice combination.
It's weird. It's like you're playing two false nines almost, by the way these two keep playing off of each other.
So let's roll into the next goal, because they're still coming fast and furious in the first half. I don't want to talk necessarily about Nick scoring his goal, because that is I think that's his hat trick, right?
Yep.
Yeah, let's talk about what led up to that PK. I'm going to start out with Ikaza, Torres, and Ikaza, because that's what it was, right? And Ikaza, he's a brilliant player. not only is he fast and he's moving, but he knows what he's doing in the box. So I think he took advantage of that defender, and defender, I guess, fell for it and then clipped his heels.
Yeah, so the defenders went in and clipped Ikaza's heels. Ikaza knows exactly what to do and just goes down. May have been a little soft, may not have been, but it was just enough in the right view of the referee. And he got the pin call. Think it was a great call.
Yeah, the defender was kind of surprised, hands up in the air. He's like, I don't know what else I could have done. So Ikaza was actually kind of headed out of the box with the ball. That made it a little more fun too, that he wasn't even really a threat at that point, but the defender just kind of come across the back of.
I mean, as a defender, who's not going to toss their hands up and just say, oh, come on. Even if you get a little contact.
When they were lining up to take the PK, interestingly, it was Nick instead of Ikaza.
Yeah, I think this is just going on and recognizing he's sitting on a hat trick here, and get the guy the ball, get him his first pro hat trick, and we can all celebrate as fans.
And celebrate we did. It was a lot of fun. Rarely do we get to see us scoring goals that basically at will whenever we're ready to, and pulling the trigger and scoring some good goals. And Nick's play the whole time, and the passing between Torres and Ikaza, and the hard work of Ikaza and MD was really paying off at this point.
I mean, 3 goals and an assist in the first half, 4-0 lead. I mean, there's nothing else better you can be doing at Patriots Point.
So how do you keep your attention span going?
It's tough.
You know, you got a four goal lead.
Got to make subs.
I think we were talking at halftime amongst ourselves, could this be a game where we see a couple of halftime subs for the first time and maybe some academy kids coming on, getting some minutes? So, I mean, it's something we're all kind of wondering going into the break here.
So we go into the break and we come out, and shortly thereafter, guess what happens? Ryan, guess. Just guess.
We score.
And who scores?
Nick Markkanen.
For number 4.
I mean, it's like he's going for a record or something.
Do you think he maybe gets paid per goal?
Yeah, bad for accounting.
It's probably not by per goal, but if he hits he's got to hit a certain amount. If he hits a certain amount, then he gets a bonus. I guarantee you he's already hit that early mark.
And I bet it's something not even on his mind either, just watching the way they play. Like, he's not looking, you get a classic look at the Myers goal. He's not looking to selfishly take shots. He is looking to create just for the battery to be up, or his teammates to get involved. And I think possibly next game we'll see a little more assisting from him in this factor, just for teams preparing to lock him down solely because he is so dangerous. But this game, he benefited from all his teammates kind of supporting him in this role.
Yeah, I want to talk about that quickly because I had written down my notes. It said Torres. So Torres wiggled his way out of 3 defenders, passed the ball to Allen. He touched it back to Torres and ended up Torres passing it off to Nick because he was wide open in front of the goal. And it looked that was probably one of our best passages of play, I think, of the match, was leading up to that goal.
No, for that one, it was the whole play, the build up, the switch of the play by the team. It was really good. And it was really good to see how we were able to dominate in the midfield and create that space for us and that open space to be able to switch and have confidence, especially with the new guys in there.
How do you leave this guy open, by the way? Did they forget he had a hat trick in the first half? It's all right. We can leave him alone on the backside.
That's right.
So let's talk a little more about this 5th goal by Nick. So Torres starts it out. He wiggles out of a couple players. The ball's passed around. Torres goes into the box, has the ball at his foot. All the defenders all of a sudden suck towards Torres. And who does that leave open?
That leaves Markkanen wide open on the backside, crashing that goalpost.
And unselfishly, Torres does fantastic, nice little pass right in the path of Nick.
And he buries it home. Puts it away right in front of Barrow Charleston.
It's crazy. You would think after scoring a hat trick in the first half, they wouldn't have just hit the snooze button on him and left him so wide open on the 18-yard line, just waiting to receive the ball and finish.
Do you think maybe it's Nick finding the right space, or is it just them just not knowing how to defend very well?
I think it's a mix on this one, right? You can't see a guy who's sitting on four goals.
Yeah.
It's just poor defending on all of them because he is finding the space. But I think in this particular goal is defending.
He's getting at where he needs to be. It's just the defender's not there and he's executing it.
Well, whatever he's doing it very well. I love it. I love to see him in space. And I go, every time I see that, I'm like, what are you defenders thinking? All you just cover one dude. That's all you got to do. Just mark up that guy. Coaches that want to play against the battery, just have somebody mark up with Nick. You also got to worry about MD, but mark up Nick because he's the one just scoring at will. I don't know. Maybe is that good coaching advice? I don't know.
I don't think so, really, because then the next game, are you going to give that kind of advice to Hartford coming up? Because I'm pretty sure I got Meyer scoring a hat trick against them.
Well, they got to make a decision. Mark up one or two, one of them, at least one of them, right?
He's got to. Yeah, you can't leave them both.
Yeah,
Brad, so maybe Brad, you can only have 11 on the field. They can't put 15 out there.
Yeah, you're right. I guess that's illegal. I guess that gets cautions and everything else. So let's transition on to the Irish cannon, Aaron Malloy, a worldly.
Now, the buildup, again, beautifully done by Battery, creating the space in the midfield, getting the defense to drop off of them and to give them time and space and to just move it around. And the fact that they didn't press on Malloy when he got it, he saw that the keeper was out of position, caught him off guard, and put it up there.
So let's talk about the keeper's position. Ryan, tell us a little more what maybe he could have done a little better. Or was the shot just that good that it didn't matter what he did?
Well, the shot was good. The shot was really good from where it was. And I don't think if you go to where the keeper's actually standing at the moment, I don't think he did himself any favors. He probably needed to be another half step back. And then he needs to immediately drop his back shoulder so he can turn and get elevated to jump up in the air. Whereas if you're squared to the field and jump straight up, the ball's going right over your head every time.
And Greeny did a good job with that, I think, last match.
That save you're talking about actually won save of the month for Charleston.
Well, for any of you non-goalkeeper Battery fans, this is just another one to look at for goal of the season. I think Malloy just wanted to toss his hat in the ring on this and say, hey, I saw you, Torres. I saw you, Nick. I know this is only my second goal of the year, but this one's going to stick around until the end of the year and possibly get us another award. I think it was that good of a shot. It was incredible.
Yeah. Aaron just, he doesn't want to make it look too simple. He doesn't want to tap it into the, you know, the corner or the easy. When he scores goals, the world knows about it because you can hear that shot from around the world when he, you know, with the free kick, his first goal was just incredible and just made all the news and everything else. And this one also made all the news. Just he doesn't do things half-assed.
No, I mean, you have your captain running up with his hands on his head in amazement of what just happened on the field. I think we just saw a ridiculous goal.
Well, they set it up too is Segbers. Ball comes to him and it wasn't a hard pass. It was the perfect weight on it to put it right there where Aaron could really strike it well. So hats off to Segbers for that fantastic pass. Now, one of the other interesting things that happened in the match, we were counting subs. All of a sudden, there were six subs. How did we get six in there?
Yeah, we had a head injury on this one. So it was actually Smith a few plays earlier, so maybe 4 or 5 minutes earlier, heading the ball out and just head-to-head collision with the Las Vegas attacker. Went down for a minute or two, played on, and then Battery get a corner. Smith heads the ball, just over top. And about 30 seconds after that, you kind of see him go down and just rubbing his head. So maybe he shouldn't have stayed on after that head to head, but he realized it soon after. And I kudos to him for at least going down and saying, hey, let's take a break. And this is what this sub rule is for, exactly for this. You're not earning substitutions on players. It's for player safety. And I think this is a great example of it moving forward for every team.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, that's the reason why we do the extra subs in there, so they can take the person off, do an assessment, and make sure that, like you said, player safety is paramount.
I was just going to say speedy recovery too, because he is our biggest goal threat in the box. Already hit one off the post in the 53rd minute, and this one just over top off another corner. So we definitely look to him in the middle of that box because he's the one highest up in the air going for it.
Yeah, his pairing with Archer so far has been fantastic. So I guess Palma can slide in there, and we'll see Archer and Palma working as a pairing. So let's keep focused on these defensive backs and all four of them back there. I don't think DeSantos had the best game. He's had other matches. He was on it a lot more crisp passing and everything else, but we got a clean sheet. And I think that's because of outstanding defending from all four backs and our keeper.
Yeah, I think a little shaky the first 2 minutes, but that's something we've kind of seen from this battery team. But overall, you're seeing guys who are only giving up one shot on target and getting in to just block everything else. I don't have it. Do I have it in front of me? I know they had 26 tackles, but their blocks were almost up there as well. So you're not even allowing the other team to shoot the ball. I mean, mainly this is Archer, his big ass in front of everyone, cleaning it up, cleaning the house, getting it out of there. But overall, I give him an A on this game, but we got to work on this rough start that we do every game and just being flat.
It's kind of a little bit of a snoozer for Grinny. Ryan, how do you keep your head in the game when you got such an awesome, you know, backs in front of you that are cleaning everything up?
Just gotta keep the intensity, keep them focused, because at the end of the day, though, even though you're not the one getting shot on or having to deal with too much going on in your own box, you're still keeping the back line organized, and as well as the midfield, making sure everyone's aware of attackers in certain areas.
So let's talk quickly about, I think a sub come on, Drac.
Yeah, we saw Drac come on for MD in the 69th minute, and I think we were all thinking he's going to go ahead and sit back in a more defensive position, but it's kind of what Ryan talked about in the last pod of maybe seeing one of these guys step into more of a midfield role. And we saw him play more of a right winger role. And this could be, I know Dos Santos had a average game. This could be a position that might open up for him in the future if that left back spot is kind of secured for a few games going forward.
You know, this is something that we've kind of mentioned to those younger youth soccer players out there. You know, it's when you get to a certain level and when you're getting older, especially, it's harder to find teams that actually need your set position. And, you know, you have to have that adaptability to be able to switch your position. So, you know, Drac came in and signed for Battery as a left back. And, you know, now he's not getting as much playing time. Now we're switching him to that midfield role so he can get that playing time. And he looked really good in that midfield role. And I think he's going to get some more playing time that he should get. And hopefully going forward, that's something that that's a way for him to get more playing time on the field as well.
And, you know, we have a lot of players that got a lot of mints in our legs. So it's good that we have some other players can move around and give them the other, you know, like Aaron Malloy and them, some rest, you know, not having to play the full 90. And speaking of super subs, my boy Matt Dean come in for the great Aaron Malloy. It's pretty cool. So got a couple minutes in there, and it is his first home match appearance. And let me throw some stats at you, Ryan, because this is how well he played.
All right.
Passing, 100%. His passing was 100% for that one pass. Two duels won and two tackles.
Wow.
I know. He's jumping in there. And number eight role. You're replacing Ikaz, you know, Malloy, but playing kind of that number eight position. And he's playing his butt off for the couple minutes he had. So it was, I thought it was pretty awesome.
Hey, hats off to you, Matthew Dean. Well done.
And he's the one that benefited from that concussion substitution, because then he was the fifth sub.
I mean, sixth sub.
He was the sixth sub. The sub before that was the concussion injury sub. So here's the other part. You listen to the coaches. You listen to other people. They were not happy with the performance of the battery. And I don't know how you say that when you score six goals. Well, I do know how you say that when you score six goals. You hear it from coaches all the time. We played like crap the first half. Defending was well, but passing was, I don't want to say atrocious, but it was not up to the level that we're capable of and what we're used to.
It was more careless, a little bit more laid back, non-urgent, and that's how we played. You know, when you go up 4-0 right away, that kind of does a little something to you, makes you a little bit more laid back, and that's where that focus comes in and that drive for you to still want to go forward and just end the game. Just put the game to bed. And, you know, Markanic scored three minutes into the game. So you can see how our poor passing started at an early point in the game. It didn't just take over at halftime or before halftime. It was throughout the majority of the game because we were winning the whole game.
And a lot of our goals come from, I call, piss poor defending on Las Vegas's part. And Nick taking advantage of their poor defending and finding himself in good position, the keeper doing a poor job. So they can do much better.
I agree with you, Ryan, on that. I'll just throw one stat out that kind of throws a little wrench in, is we still had 83% pass accuracy. So I know us watching the game, and we can kind of see like these errant balls and just dumb giveaways that we look at. Overall, I think we had that moments in the game of say 5 or 7 minutes. Then we settled into a nice little 15-20 minute stint where we're controlling the game again. And I think this is what Coach Bierman referenced, was about 90 seconds, 2 minutes into the game. This team, we could have been down 1-0, and it's a completely different story from here. So I think he's trying to instill in the players that no matter what the outcome is, you need to be prepared for the next game, because the next game starts 0-0. It is not a continuation of this 6-0 win. You guys need to be prepared. You need to respect the opponent, and you can't always count on the ball to be going in the back of the net for us.
And speaking of the back of the net, but close, I think there was 3 shots come off the woodwork.
Yeah, one of them being Palma that we had mentioned, but right there in itself, that's another 3 goals. I know, Ryan, you were looking at some crazy history stats. Would that have put us over the mark for most goals in the game?
Yeah, I think that would have put us right there at it. The record right now is held by Reno 1868. They won their game 9-0. So I'm thinking next game. You know, we put it to bed early. I think we can get 10 goals. I think it's very doable.
Well, let's look how well we think we're doing, and let's compare it to Louisville, who's on our heels. They have 2 games in hand. We are at 21 points. They're at 18. So they have a chance to, when they catch up with us on the games played, they could potentially add 6 points and be 3 points ahead of us. So we got to keep in it and keep moving hard and keep scoring goals.
Yeah, another team I think has a little buzz just because they are 5 games played, 5 wins, is Detroit. But that key stat you need to look at is it's only a 6-goal differential. So they're not winning games by 2 or 3 goals at all. They're barely squeaking by 1. So just something to keep in mind when that game is coming up. Don't be totally afraid of a team like this.
So let's talk some fun stuff. USL Player of the Week. I believe it was some guy named Nick. And Ryan, remind us of the magnitude of his ability.
Yes, if you take all the top goal scorers in the U.S. across all domestic leagues, and that includes the MLS, the MLS Next, all USL leagues, Nick Markkanen leads all the leagues right now with 11 goals. And, you know, following short on that list is right below him, Lionel Messi at number two with 9 goals. And then Christian Benteke is just below them with 8 goals. Just to give you guys a little reference of some of the players type of quality that are on that list.
So, Patrick, should you be burning up your Messi 10 jersey and replacing it with the lucky 13?
I don't know why anyone even has the Messi jersey in their closet still. Get it out of there. Get down to the battery shop. Get a Markkanen jersey. He's not going to stop scoring. So it's just going to keep going up, up, and up. And that value is going to be insane. And Ryan, I think you mentioned if you want to get your autograph, you might want to do it now.
Yeah. So, you know, following last game, Markkanen stays around on the field just like all the battery players do after home games, which is a great opportunity for the kids to get to meet some of their favorite players. He was around for a little bit to sign some stuff, but the moment he hit the tunnel, he kind of quickly made his way out to the locker rooms. So if you guys want to get his autograph, try to show up a little earlier and try to meet him on the field.
So one last little shout out. We see you, Aaron Malloy. We see you with a little goal celebration in your somersault and pistol fingers. And that was a nod to the great Robbie Keane, Irish international. I think he has the most caps, the most goals for Ireland. And one of the other things that was discussed kind of amongst people was that they expected Aaron to get a goal like that because his parents were in the grandstands. We see you, Aaron. We see you. And we see your little somersaults. So let's move on to the next match, which is May 4th. Ryan's dressing up as Chewbacca. Is that right?
Yes, and Pat is dressing up as Han Solo.
Correct. Granted, were you Darth Maul? Is that what you were doing?
Yes, Darth Maul. I'll be Darth Maul. Last time I was Jabba the Hutt, but this time I'll be Darth Maul.
It's better than Jar Jar Binks, though.
Jabba the Hutt was kind of hard to get to. Yeah. The problem with Jabba the Hutt, I was getting stuck in the security little detection thing. So this match is on May 4th, kickoff at 6:30. As always, a little celebrating going on, pre-gaming, and yell a lot with us Cannon crew members. And then we make our way over to the blue lot to hang out with the regimental troops and that enjoy some of their cooking, some of the beer. I hear a rumor that Edmund Zos Brewing Company is sending over some samples so people can enjoy probably the best beer in Charleston. And you can watch it on ESPN Plus if you can't make it to the match.
Hey, if you can make it out to the match, following the match, they'll have a special drone show. Not sure what all entails, but should be fun.
Stalked a little of their Instagram, and I will say it looks pretty cool. There's going to be some things you've never seen before.
So these aren't drones with Hellfire missiles and Maverick missiles or anything like that?
No flame-throwing dogs wandering out there.
You guys got anything else?
You want to do predictions for the game?
So let's bust out the crystal ball. Chewbacca, what is your prediction for this weekend's match?
For this weekend, I have the Battery winning 8-0 with MD Myers getting a solid hat trick and a goal and getting the game ball.
Ryan.
Yeah.
Good luck with that one. Patrick.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Battery 4-0. I think Nick's going to get another goal, but I think he's going to get 2 assists in this one, and hopefully we'll see Torres get the hat trick in this game. How about you?
Oh, I would love that. So I'm going to go 10-0. Leland gets set piece headed in the back of the net. Torres hat trick. And then we'll just spread out the other goals with everybody else.
I like it.
So that's all I've got.
I like the Leland shout.
Yeah. Well, he's just that awesome. We put him in the corner and he's due. He is due.
He's due. And especially too, is him being partnered up with his former center back who was in the USL championship final with him last year. They haven't played together since then.
No, they haven't. So maybe this is time to see some spectacular defending and offending by our center backs. That's all I've got. We're going to see you in a little bit. See you Saturday night.
No battery.
That's it. Tabaka.
Off the battery.
Peace. See y'all later.